Jeff is with the children. Jeff is in Hendersonville at Camp Canoga. Actually, it's Camp Bob Campbell in Canoga Conference Center. And they are there for children's camp. That's kind of become our tradition over the last 20 years of going to Hendersonville for children's camp during Memorial Day weekend. And they are having a blast. Just by gauging from the pictures that I've seen on Facebook, they're having a splendid time up there. So they're really enjoying themselves. So I hope that you will continue to pray for them as they are there and enjoying the weather and the fellowship and the worship and all of that. So pray also that they'll have a safe return trip. We have several announcements, but before we get into those, there's pew pad there. If you don't mind, if you would take that little red folder at one end or the other and just kind of fill that out as you go down. And if you're a guest with us and you don't mind, if you could put your information in there. We're not going to stalk you or hound you or anything like that. We just want to give you some more information about the church and make sure that that we're doing what we can do to help you in our community. So if you'll do that and then pass it back and tear that page off and put it on top of the red pad where it began, and our ushers will pick that up at the end of the service today. So thank you for helping us with that. I want to give you a couple of announcements. The church office will be closed tomorrow in honor of Memorial Day. Also, in the upcoming events, there's several notes there about the menu for Wednesday night, for example. There's also a note about Graduate Sunday. If you know someone that will be graduating, we will honor them next Sunday morning, so be sure and let Jeff know about that if you haven't already. Also want to give you a heads up on an event that's coming up in June. June the 12th, which is a Sunday. June the 12th. From 3 to 5 in the afternoon, we will have an open house for what we're calling the ministry house down at the bottom of the parking lot here that we've been working hard to renovate to have a family through Stepping Stones Ministry and come into that home. We will have an open house to where you can see what all has been done. If you didn't see the before, you may not be nearly as amazed as those of us who saw the before, but it actually is a beautiful home. From 3 to 5, be open house, and then at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we'll have a short dedication time, dedicating that home to the purposes that it's intended for, and that is to serve our community, to serve families within our community as a mission home. So put that on your calendar, because that's kind of new information there. June the 12th from 3 to 5, and then 5 o'clock in here. Tomorrow, there will be no Monday morning Bible study here at the church. I think it's covered. We mentioned the offices will be closed tomorrow. Are there any other announcements that we might have missed? Okay. All right. We want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are our guests. We ask you to give us a little information on the pew pad there, and hopefully you did that. But regardless of that, we have some information we'd like to give you. Our ushers are here at the front, and they're going to begin toward the back. And if you don't mind, just slip up your hand so they can see where you are. There's a visitor's packet there they want to hand you. There'd be a lot of information about College Park, the ministries that we're involved with, the missions that we are involved with. There'll also be a copy of our most recent newsletter that'll kind of highlight some additional things that are a little bit more current. So I hope that you will take that, and certainly if you have any questions, give me a call or any of the staff, and be glad to answer your questions about all that's going on here. Because there is a lot that is going on in the life of our church, and we are truly thankful for that, and all the people who serve as a part of those ministries. This is a special weekend in the sense that it is a holiday on the calendar. It's one of those times where we pause in our country and we give thanks. Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day is in honor of those who have given their life in military service to our country. And we understand that nationwide it's to honor those who have died in service to their country. But we just feel like there's not enough opportunities for us to say thank you to all of our veterans, not just those who've given their life in service, but literally all of our veterans, for all who have served our country. There's a lot of discussion about how Memorial Day began. I remember when we went to Mark Matthews' wedding down in Mississippi, several years ago. The city that we went to there claims that Memorial Day began there, which is not unusual. As I began to read and research, there are a lot of cities that kind of claim a Memorial Day type of thing where they began to put flowers on the graves of the soldiers. And what Congress did, just kind of pull all that together and say, okay, the last Monday in the month of May, we're going to honor all of those and pull it all together to one day to observe. But I want us, regardless of where the tradition actually began or all of those discussions, I want us to honor those who have served in our military, male, female. And when I say military, I'm talking about auxiliaries as well. So if you've served in any of those capacities, I want to ask you, if you don't mind, would you please stand? Wow. Thank you so much. And if you would remain standing. In honor of these, our veterans, and also in memory of those who have gone before us in service to our country, I want to ask the rest of you, if you would please join us in standing, and we'll have a moment of silent prayer, followed by the playing of taps. Maybe seat. Would you join me in prayer, please? Gracious Father, thank you for this beautiful day, a day that you've given us to come together to enjoy a time that we can join our hearts in fellowship, but Father, more importantly, join our hearts in praise and worship of you. We thank you for who you are in our lives, and we also thank you for all that you bless us with, the opportunities to serve and to come together and to have moments like this where we worship you. We pray that the worship would be pleasing to your ears, even as our hearts are pleasing to you. God, we thank you for the chance to live in a country where we have the freedom to gather ourselves without fear of persecution. We are truly blessed, and we give you thanks for that. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This morning, we're going to be reading from a substantial, very meaningful portion of the scripture from Hebrew 11, and it is entitled Faith in Action in the Bible that I'm reading from. Let's hear about our fathers and mothers of faith. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things they promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for all those who've gone before us, all relatives, all those not related, all former members of this body of Christ who have prayed for us, prayed for this church. We thank you for the mothers and the fathers of our faith who have prayed for us individually and lifted us up before you, for we know that their prayers for us still circle your throne, and that, Father, you hear every prayer and you answer in due season. It may not be what we expect, but you work on our behalf as we ask. You work behind the scenes where we cannot see, doing wonders that we cannot understand, and that often do not look right to us. But Father, we know that you're working in ways that are just of your own, and trying, Father, to do your will upon this earth and help us to follow you. Father, we thank you for the faith that is ours, that you give us. We don't know where we'd be without it. We would be lost. We would have no purpose, no meaning. We would be broken totally. We'd be lost, wandering in the darkness. And we would surely be very afraid of the end of our life here on earth. But because you have given us the gift of faith, not something we could come up with, through Jesus Christ, you've planted that in us, that faith. We know that we have the assurance of salvation, that we belong to you, we're children of the King, that no matter what happens to us here in this life, that we have you to walk with beside us, to hold our hand and help us to get through it. And we thank you and we praise you. We thank you that we need not be afraid of living or dying because you hold it all in your hands. When we belong to you, we are kept. We are kept safe, and we are kept well, and we are kept thoroughly. No matter what we face, you are there with us. So thank you, Heavenly God, for the faith that is ours, that is expressed through these wonderful heroes of the faith. Thank you for their example, and we pray that that kind of faith can live on in us, that, Father, we can stand tall for you, that we can express that faith to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. you pray with me, please? Father God, you call us by name. You know each of us as an individual. You know my heart. May our way of looking become more like your way, Lord. We come before you as we are. We ask that you take away from us all that makes us less. Strengthen us with the power of your Spirit, that our attitude and our way of looking may become more like yours. Help us to remain positive, encouraging, and appreciating of one another, looking upon people the way you do. Open my eyes and my ears, Lord, so that I may see, so that I may hear what you are saying to me. May my experiences remind me to be aware of the needs of others. Inspire us to respect and value each person who comes into our lives on this day. May all that I experience this day, Lord, lead me closer to you.
prayers answered? What does praying do for us? I mean, we could have that discussion. It's kind of a cyclical discussion. What does prayer do for us? We'll get into that in just a few minutes. But we have a passage. It is our lectionary passage. And as I was reading this week, I referred back to Dr. Talbert's book from reading Luke. Read some interesting writings by Ben Hilding on the subject of the centurion and his faith. Also in the New Interpreter's Bible Dictionary. There was a really good article about centurions in general. But before we get into all of that, as I was kind of preparing there, my mind went back to an interesting time in my life. And it happens to young men and women, typically about the time they either get ordained or they finish seminary or divinity school or something like that. And then they go back and you have kind of that first family gathering after completing a milestone in ministry like that. And you get to that awkward moment right before the meal when inevitably somebody will say something like, well, let's let our new little pet minister say the blessing. Well, they don't use the word pet, but that's kind of what they're thinking. I mean, let the newbie, let our new little minister say the word, you know, say the word, say the blessing. And I got to thinking about that. I said, what changed? You know, all of a sudden, you know, he or she is the designated human hotline to heaven. I mean, what changed in all of this? And what causes this kind of deal? Is it a hangover from pre-Reformation Catholicism? Well, actually, it may be. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it, but I thought, well, maybe it actually is. The same thing kind of happens to preachers when they go to eat with a group. Thank you for that group that I go with that it doesn't happen. But typically, you know, if you go, it's kind of like, well, preacher, why don't you say the blessing? Oh, I don't know, maybe because I don't like praying. Or you know, I've talked to God a lot today, maybe you ought to try it. You know, a lot of these things go through your mind and you have to filter those out, depending, of course, with the group that you're with. Sometimes you just let them fly and it breaks the tension. But you know, it's kind of one of those things. Vince here today, where's Vince? Vince, you know that discussion we had Friday about, you know, sometimes you're in a group and you know, they kind of defer to the preacher, or you're there and you feel, I feel kind of awkward. You know, I'm not sure I should pray when there's a minister in the group. And why is that? You know, I've actually asked the question. Why is that? For some reason, even subconsciously, some people think, well, you know, maybe if we let the preacher pray, the food won't give us indigestion, or, you know, the food won't put weight on us, or something like that, you know. Or the other side of that is, well, I don't want to say something incorrect in my prayer, something theologically incorrect, so I'm just not going to pray. I'm going to defer to them. Well, let me stop and say at this point that all I've said up to this point really is less of an issue here at College Park, and I'm very grateful for that. If you go back and look on your bulletin, it said ministers, and that's all believers. And I believe that. With all of my fiber, I know the ones that I've talked to, you all believe that. We are all ministers, amen? We are all ministers of the gospel. We all have our ministry that God has placed before us and equipped us and called us into ministry. So in my mind, there is not a hierarchy of ministry. But you understand what I'm trying to say. Sometimes it gets a little strange. And in our gospel text today, I think it gets a little strange. I really do. It's the passage about the centurion who heard about Jesus and then he needed help from him. And let's read it together. It's from Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and we'll read the first 10 verses. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all of this in the hearing of the people, and before that he had been talking about builders, wise and foolish builders and that type of thing. But anyway, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant whom his master valued highly. That is a strange phrase. It would have been strange for the first century readers to see servant and valued highly in the same sentence talking about each other. It almost would have been an oxymoron in that day and time. A servant valued highly was sick and about to die. And the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and he has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with him. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and they found the servant well. Well, what's going on here? Faith. Yeah, honey, faith. When you hear the word centurion, what comes to your mind? Yeah. The movie 300. So they were Spartans, but that's okay. Troy, Romans, soldiers, centurions. Let's pause for just a minute, since this is Memorial Day weekend, when we honor our servicemen and women who've given their lives to our country, and be more specific about who this centurion was. Centurions were military officers who gave themselves to a cause. They gave themselves to the service of Rome. They got their name, as the passage alludes to, because they commanded a group of men, 100 men, thus the centuria, 100 in Latin. That's how they get their name. Centurions were hardened, skilled, experienced Roman soldiers, most of which had been enlisted men who had served faithfully for 15 to 20 years. These cats, they were pretty bad dudes. I mean, they really were. You read a lot about centurions and their emotional, their military strength. They were pretty bad cats, kind of like a kind of Latin Navy SEAL or a Latin Army Ranger. And just all in. They were tough. And the centurion in our story had a highly valued servant. The servant was almost near death. And for some reason, and we get an inkling, we get a clue, but for some reason the centurion did not call on Jesus directly. We're not sure of why that is, but we get an inkling based on what he told the friends to tell Jesus. But he starts with the elders. The distinguished religious leaders of the synagogue in Capernaum, and he asked them to intercede for him. The elders, they approached Jesus with a list. I said, you need to help this guy. Here's why. And they list it all out. Basically a typical behavior for legalists, okay? Here's all the reasons why this guy is deserving. And he helped us build the synagogue. He helped us build the synagogue. You should help this guy. They said he was worthy. And even though he was a Gentile, he still loved Jewish people. And he helped them build the synagogue. Did I mention that? He helped us build the synagogue. So Jesus, probably with a smile on his face, said, okay, all right, let's go do this thing. Let's go meet this guy. And as he approached the house, Jesus was caught there by a group of friends who had been sent out by the centurion. And they too asked Jesus to heal this highly valued servant. Once again, the centurion sent someone else to talk to Jesus on his behalf. First, he sent the religious leaders with high reputations that Jesus saw right through, by the way. And then he sent his friends Perhaps he wasn't convinced that he could or should talk to Jesus directly. And we see that in the text. We see that in the text. What these friends said. I get this feeling that this centurion did not feel worthy, perhaps. And I wondered, is that the case with us sometimes? I don't know about you, but there are times when I do not feel worthy to approach the throne of God. I think, what in the world did I do to deserve this privilege? And the point is, of course, that I didn't do anything. It's what Jesus did. Amen? And that's the only reason. That's the only reason we can approach the throne of God with confidence. It's because of Jesus. It always has been. It always will be. It's not about me. It's not about you. You know? He sent the religious leaders first. He sent his friend second. What do we do? What do we do? You know, sometimes we pass our prayer request off to the pastor or the staff member thinking that maybe they'll have the best chance of getting a response from God. You know? And then maybe we tell our friends or we tell our Sunday school class, we tell the Wednesday night, okay, Cresta, I have a prayer request. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But maybe not if that's where it stops. If your thinking is that somebody else has a better chance of getting through to God than me, maybe that's not a good mentality. You know, do we go for the numbers? Do we say, well, the more people I have praying for me, the more maybe God will give me what's best for me? No, that's not how God works. But sometimes we see it that way. Now, do we want to include a lot of people in praying for us? Yes, certainly. But not for the reason that we're having to persuade God to give us what's best for us. That's what He desires deeply. So where I started is where I come to now. What is the purpose of our prayer then? Is it to convince God to give us what's best for us? Or is it for us to align our will and our hearts with His? And of course, the answer is the latter of those two. But how often is it that we do not talk to Jesus? We do not talk to God directly. Instead, defer to others. Perhaps that's why some pastors resist every public request for prayer, knowing that he or she would take away an opportunity for somebody else to actually talk to God directly. For surely God does not discriminate. God does not discriminate. God hears every single one of us as we pray, right? He hears us. He hears us. He's not too busy. He's not preoccupied with others, so he may not hear me. No. He hears you. He hears your prayers. You know, that might have been what the centurion needed to hear. Maybe he needed to hear from Jesus or from the friends or from the religious leaders. You need to talk to Jesus yourself. Don't send us. We'll be glad to go get him. But when he comes here, you need to talk to him. You need to talk to him. Somewhere in our church history, after the apostles died and we began this thing of apostolic succession and all this other stuff, somewhere along the way it became deeply ingrained in the history of the church that you needed to have someone speak to God on your behalf. And while it never hurts to have others praying for us, again, we can go before God with complete confidence, not because of us, but because of Jesus. We can have direct communication with God ourselves. And as we read this story, the centurion never actually talks to Jesus directly. He may not have felt worthy given his profession or his reputation or his race. He may not have felt worthy. But for whatever reason, we don't hear that they ever actually come into contact with one another. And that's tragic. So it would be natural and perhaps even reasonable to expect that Jesus would not respond. If the person didn't have the courage or the wherewithal to come to him directly, wouldn't Jesus have a right to refuse this triangulation approach to prayer? We might ask that, but somehow it all worked out. Somehow it worked. The prayer team worked. Somehow, and for some reason, Jesus still directly answered the centurion's indirect prayers. And we know that because the final verse says in verse 10, when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health, or they found the slave to be well. Amen, yeah. So what can we say? We can say that although they never met directly face to face, Jesus knew about the centurion's faith. He knew his heart. When Jesus showed up, he answered the centurion's indirect prayer, not because of the elders, maybe in spite of, not because of the elders, not because of the friend's convincing arguments, but because of the centurion's faith that his slave could be healed, that his servant could be healed, that his valued servant could be healed by Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Whoa. The Gentile had more faith. People reading this, first century going, whoa, time, what? Huh? You see, in the same way, we can know that when we bring our concerns to Jesus, Jesus hears not just our words, Jesus hears our faith. He hears our hearts. Before we say a word, before we think a thing, he knows. And at the same time, we can say that even though we have direct access to God through prayer, Jesus still hears and even answers prayers that actually go through someone else. I can tell you he does that because sometimes we need to be able to count on prayer warriors in our lives to lift the prayers to God that we have a hard time voicing ourselves. Have you ever experienced that? You just don't know what to pray. You're hurting, you're grieving, you're so upset, you're so angry. You don't know what to pray, but you know that there are people praying for you. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 addressed this. He said, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, whatever that weakness is at the moment. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. What is a groan? It's something that comes out of frustration or hurt or pain. The Spirit intercedes with groans that words cannot express. Keep going. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. That whole thing of aligning our hearts, aligning our wills with the Father's, that's what prayer is about. And the Spirit helps us, because when we don't know, have any idea, when we have no idea whatsoever what to say or what even to think, the Spirit interprets our heart to the Father. Because God allows us to count on other people in our lives to pray for us, because he allows that, because he honors that, I think that there in all of this, there is a cautionary word against privatizing faith so much that we don't communicate to others what we're facing in our own personal lives. It's easy to do. It's easy to kind of draw in and get really private. I understand that. I understand it because, part of that is we may have trust issues. We may have been burned in the past. Part of it may be that we don't want people to know that we're struggling too. And so we pull it all in. But the fact is that God places people in our lives to help us in our journey, right? We're in this together, people. He sent the Spirit for a lot of reasons, but one of them is that so we would be one body. We would have the Spirit to bind us together in our journey, which includes carrying each other's burdens before the Lord in prayer. And as we can see from our story today, we believe in a God who does have the gift of listening. Jesus listens to those who speak, and Jesus even hears those who don't. Even when our prayers requested are mediated, our prayers requested by us to someone else, even when they're mediated before God, God's response is uninterrupted. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to our God, who directly answers even our indirect prayers. I don't know how he does it, but he put it into place before the world began. And our response is to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we do thank you. We thank you that we can come before you without fear. Father, we can come before you with complete confidence, not because of us, but again, because of Jesus and our relationship with him. Father, we pray that we would never hesitate. We would never hesitate to offer up to you all of our praise and all of our glory and all of our thanks and all of our hurts and all of our pain. Father, we thank you for fellow believers who walk beside us. None of us perfect. All of us with our issues. But Father, all of us marching together, walking together, helping one another, carrying, dragging each other when we need it. Father, we thank you for your Spirit that makes all of this possible in our own lives and in the lives of others. And we pray that as faithful servants, we would be the kind that are trusted, that are faithful, that are true. And as we do this, the world will see, and they will know we are Christians by our love for you and for one another. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In our journey together, the first step is to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to invite you, if you're not a believer, if you've not yet accepted Christ and have that personal relationship, not just a head knowledge, but a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to invite you. We'll stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to talk with you if you'd like to come forward. I'll be glad to talk with you about it, or call me this week and we can talk about it. If you're here and you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I'm trying to go this alone. I've got kind of a lone wolf approach to faith. Bless you for recognizing that. But that's not the best that God desires for you. And we want to be your family. We want to be part of the body together. So you can talk with God about that. If you want to talk with me, I'll be here. Certainly the altar will be open if you want to come and pray here. And if you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this body in full membership, we'd love to have you. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to speak with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Hymn number 484, Higher Ground. Stand with me. I invite you, following the benediction and choral response, greet one another, encourage one another, say a word of thanksgiving that we're here together this morning. And if you would, continue to remember our children and leaders that will be coming back from Hendersonville. Keep them safe. Prayer for safety on the road. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, it is a glorious time to be reminded of your love for us, your provision for us. And part of that is the joyful experience of approaching you directly, sharing our hearts with you. Another part of that is sharing our hearts with one another. Father, help us to be faithful and true. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.